Detroit.com.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Catholic Radio with the broadcast delay set because of the host, not because of the callers, by the way. We do have an offer for free callback coupons this week. If you are not satisfied with some of the thoughts and ideas and direction that you've been given, you call our human resources department and you can get free callback coupons. What that will enable you to do is to call back at any time in the future and get on the air for free. Good morning, Wes. Good afternoon, East. This is Ray Garanti here on The Doctor Is In. I do appreciate the company. 877-573-7825. I never say the one because that's understood. It's like when you look at a child and say, stop it! You're not really having to say, Teresa Elizabeth Smith, stop it! Because she knows Teresa Elizabeth Smith is understood. And I believe that in some respects, Catholic children are more likely to misbehave than other children. The reason for this is there has been research that indicates there is a direct correlation between how many names the parent says and how much the kid is misbehaving. My mother pretty much spoke to me at all times, Raymond Nicholas Garanti. When I was confirmed, and I got another name in there, I was able to... How shall we say, act up more, because she had more names to call me by. Raymond Nicholas Anthony Garanti, Jr., Esquire, Ph.D. Oh, yeah. I could pull stunts I never pulled before, because I had a whole lot of names she could correct me by. And speaking of names to correct me by, this is so sad. This is just so sad. Oh! How do I keep my zest? Reader's Digest has a monthly feature they call Around the World with One Question. And they roughly survey samples of people in various countries. Well, this month's question was, what's the best way to discipline kids? Let me read what they said here. Spare the rod. Period. That's what parents across the globe told us when we asked how they discipline their children. Respondents, my kids are so difficult. Respondents in all 16 countries in this month's global survey. You ready? Are you ready for their main discipline? This was by far the number one discipline. Okay, first choice in India, 85% of the parents. Mexico, 75%. Russia, 71%. Spain, 64%. U.S., 56%. U.S. down to bottom with Australia. But first choice discipline. This is what you do when your kid needs discipline. Are you ready? Talk to them. Talk to him. As Carlos Martinez, age 36, Guadalajara, Mexico, says, are you ready? My two daughters are very naughty, but they always react well to a conversation or a scolding. And I want to say, Carlos, no, they don't. You just said they were very naughty. They can't react well. Maybe for the moment they look like they're penitent. Maybe they listen. Maybe they feel sheepish. But if it doesn't change anything, they're not reacting well. Let's see. Not a single woman. Not a single woman. I wish they would have polled some of you ladies. In the United States. Expressed. A preference for spanking. I told you that the experts are very good at ultimately taking over the way a culture thinks. For 40 years now, spanking has been the chief child-rearing sin. It's a cardinal sin. It's right up there with having premarital relations. Oh, actually, maybe not. Maybe spanking is considered worse by a lot of folks. Well, what has happened is that's been imbibed by the general culture. Absolutely not, is the way most people look at it. But I want to talk a little bit about this talking it out discipline. My kid punches his brother in the head. Well, 85% of people in India say, we got to talk it out. Yeah, I got to tell him. I got to tell him it's not okay to punch his brother in the head. Now, of course, if he's been punching his brother in the head for the last 6 years, I may feel good about myself being able to talk it out. But clearly my talking it out isn't doing anything because he still punches his brother in the head probably more so than he used to. If I've got a surly, disrespectful, snotty, argumentative 14-year-old, am I going to talk it out? Am I going to sit down and say, you know, I'll use a lot of I messages and active listening. I'm really sensing a lot of disrespect, and I'm very frustrated when you do that. And I'd like to set up a win-win scenario, so maybe we should just talk this out. And of course the child will say, oh, Father, I didn't realize you were so upset. I've only been acting this way for the last 5 years, and our relationship has really deteriorated and gotten unpleasant, But it's good that we're having a talking it out. Why don't we talk it out every time I'm snotty with you, which is about 9 times a day? In the United States, women were more likely to choose talking by a 20% margin over men regarding disciplining. Folks, I got to tell you, talking is not disciplining. It may be a way to find a solution, kind of, sort of. It may be a way to get down to how the kid looks at things. It may be a way for you to get your stuff off of your chest. But for the standard, repetitive misbehavior that all kids do, talking it out, especially for the day-to-day nitty-gritty of misbehavior, is not only a waste of time, it's counterproductive. How many times are you going to talk it out? Is there going to be a magic moment when the kid looks at you and you hear the Hallelujah chorus in the background and he says, oh, Mother, I see. Of course, I won't do that anymore. Oh, you know, had you stopped 7 years ago talking this out with me, I don't think I would have seen it. But since you've been talking it out with me for 7 years now, it's sunk in. Talking it out. And then we go, why are these kids acting this way? I disciplined them. Well, if your discipline is talking it out, now, don't mishear me, folks. I'm not saying you don't talk it out. I'm simply saying if that's your discipline, you're in big trouble. 877-573-7825. If you get a busy signal, which looks like you're going to get, we're going to talk it out. When you folks call in here, we're going to talk it out.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. On the first Easter Sunday afternoon, two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, discussing all the events that had just happened. However, they did not yet realize that Jesus had risen from the dead. Even when Jesus began walking with them on that road, they did not recognize him. We do not know what changes the risen body causes in our appearance. But aside from that factor, we read in this gospel account that the disciples were looking downcast. Often we are too absorbed in our own disappointment to see that hope is right in front of us. This is the case with many who are pregnant, afraid, and tempted to abort. Despair and fear can lead to the violence of abortion, unless we intervene and show that the Lord is walking with us. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Rigorendi, psychologist, father of 10, five boys, five estrogen Americans, and my son's sister's uncle's brother. Okay. Boy, a lot of good questions up there. I don't really have a whole lot of good answers here, but the questions are good. Okay, try to take a little bit. And those of you who called 4 hours ago and were waiting on the line, Bud from St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Bud. Dr. Ray. Hey, Bud. Gone? Bud once. Bud twice. Bud gone. Bruce, Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Bruce.
How you doing?
Okay.
I don't know if the screener kind of told you what, or you have the call there in front of you, but I was just going to really put to you this way briefly, and then I'll hang up and let you give your answer.
Okay.
I'm wondering with, you know, what you know, your psychiatry degree and so forth, and being a Catholic doctor and knowing, you know, the way of the world and so forth, what would you think of the idea that, or the possibility that some of the priests who underwent, you know, therapy during the 70s and the 80s, for the problems with, you know, behavior, children. What would you think, is there any suspicion you might have that actually during the therapy under hypnosis that behavior could have been...
eliminated?
Eliminated, or actually what I'm asking is, do you think it's possible that they were actually, you know, suggested to them in hypnosis that they would continue to do it?
No.
Or that it would be worse?
No. Let me deal with that first, and then I'll deal with the question of suspicion. What you're asking is, can you post-hypnotically plant a suggestion in somebody's mind so that after the hypnotic trance has discontinued, that they will feel this urge, this compulsion, this drive to do that? One of the basic tenets of hypnosis is that you can't really suggest somebody to do something counter to their morals. If somebody would say to me,
Okay, Ray, I'm going to see if I can get you under psychological trance, and then I'm going to want you to date the neighbor girl. I'm going to want you to have this real strong physical attraction. When you see her, you're just not going to be able to control yourself. She's so cute. You know, she's 29 years old, and you're just going to want to ask her out. You're going to become obsessed with her. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Okay? Because thank God I don't think that's me. So that's the first thing. But you are touching upon something much, much broader. And it's ticklish and delicate, but I'm going to say it. Dr. Ray, would you be wary of a priest who had been legitimately accused, acknowledged and admitted, of being inappropriate with children or adolescents? And the majority of the time it was adolescents. Okay, it was priests with homosexual inclinations, and these were adolescent boys. That he got therapy, that he was pronounced all better by the therapist, I would still be nervous, and I will tell you why. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that he should be taken away, gone, whatever. I'm simply saying I'm not going to put my children in a situation with a known history, because what we have learned is that kind of acting out isn't real successfully treated by therapy. Okay? It can be. I mean, there are those who have an incident or two and never, ever, ever offend again. That's true. And by the grace of God, we hope, especially in the cleric situation, that that's going to work much good too. But if I'm going to count on the therapy to do that, I'm going to be a little nervous about it. All right? We've got plenty of evidence that this kind of behavior, especially if it's been done repetitively, does not respond all that well to reparative therapy. Okay? That's a tragic sadness in it all. And I think the vast majority of holy, godly men who are priests will tell you, yeah, they realize in a very tragic way, if one of their brother priests has done something like this a number of times, he got a long road in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's where I am with that, and I think the John Jay folks kind of back that up too.
Mm-hmm.
Okie doke, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks very much.
Okay,
bye.
My friend.
Bye.
Well, folks, now, you know, an interesting thing when you get a question on this program, I can't qualify every single angle. And usually I'll get an email or something where somebody says, you should have mentioned this, or you shouldn't have said that, or you should have added this to it. And I understand that. But again, we're not talking about a six-hour workshop here. Okay, we're just talking about putting out some bullet points generically about a subject like that. That is delicate. Okay? Trisha from Avon, Indiana. Avon calling. Hi, Trisha.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have this very dear Christian friend who is very patient, loving, very trusting. Her husband has been living for the last 2 years with his girlfriend. The two of them had a child last fall. However, now he says he wants to come back home to his wife. Well, that's all well and good, but the problem is he keeps finding excuses for delaying that decision.
Well, then he doesn't want to come back home to his wife, does he?
Well, the wife feels like he really does, but that he's just procrastinating it because he hates to give up being around his new baby, because he's the main caregiver. I mean, the girlfriend doesn't seem to do too much. And I've tried to support this friend, and I don't know how much to tell her she should give, whether, in other words, all this has been talked all this time, and it's worse than with a child. A child you can sit down and discipline, but a husband's a little more difficult. So all it ends up with is a lot of talk. But I'm not sure what I should be telling her as a Christian. Should she just be being patient and keep holding on and be ready for him to come home? Or should she be putting some kind of a push, some kind of deadlines? Or what should she be doing?
Well, obviously, an awful lot of Christian denominations do not view divorce as strongly as Catholics do, as Catholic
right.
Church does. So if she's not Catholic, then
she's not, but her husband is.
Well, kind of, sort of, huh?
Well, yeah, that's the weird thing. He left the Catholic Church when they got married and has been going to her Protestant church for about 20 years. Now, since he left her and been living with a girlfriend, when he goes to church, he goes to the Catholic Church. So that's why she's been talking to me a lot, because I'm Catholic and I'm a convert. So
he not providing a very good image of the Catholics for her.
No kidding.
Sure. So
no kidding.
I would say this. She probably doesn't have the same resistance to divorce that a faithful Catholic would have. In much of the Christian world, divorce is not a good thing, but nevertheless, sometimes it's quote-unquote necessary and the understandable thing. Okay. Once you open that door, forget it. Everybody runs through it. Given that...
And she's right now, she does not want a divorce. She believes in hanging in there.
Well, if she doesn't want a divorce then, and that's the predicate of all of this, she then waits. She has no other option. If she's going to say, last resort, divorce, then she's in a position of saying, well, okay, I'll just wait until he comes more to his senses than he is, and he finally decides to make the move. Because what leverage does she have? She can't do anything. She can't call him up and say, okay, you got 2 months. You're not back in this door in 2 months. I'm gone. She's not going to say that.
Exactly.
So given that, she waits. Now you, on the other hand, you better watch yourself.
Yes.
Because whatever advice you give her, if and when they reconcile, you don't know how much of this is going to go back to his ears.
Yes.
And you say, well, she won't do that to me. Whoa, 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 whoa. They could be having an argument, and she could say, well, Tricia told me this was going to happen. You know, you got to be real careful, because you then are on the outside with your friend because she's trying to make it work with her husband and he's trying to make it work with her. And lo and behold, Tricia was the confidant all that time. And boy, Tricia had a lot of opinions about a lot of things. And Tricia, you know, I think you got to just kind of listen and sort of ask questions and say to her, what do you want to do? Well, what do
that's
you think?
That's exactly what I've been doing. Yeah,
that's
good. I'm glad you're confirming, because I kept thinking maybe I should be trying to.
Well,
even that's
dangerous.
Yeah, because a lot of people have been telling her sister,
yeah,
other friends,
right.
And say, you need to give him an ultimatum, and you need to. And I say,
famous
no.
Last words from people not in the situation. You need to stand up to him. Dad, don't put up that kind of junk. Put a lie. Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't tolerate that. Until they find themselves in that situation. And then it's, oh, this isn't quite so uncomplicated as I thought. Yep.
Yeah, and I've actually lived through the situation myself.
Okay. Well, Trish.
So I know that it can be healed.
Thank you.
And I think that's another reason she's close to me. She knows the situation can be healed, but it does take time.
Yep. Thank you for being a good friend to her. All righty.
Thank you for confirming I'm doing the right thing. Thanks.
I don't know that. I just figured that's the way I would do it. Thank you, honey.
Well,
how many people have been burned by situations where somebody comes to them in the middle of a crisis, particularly a marital one, where there's another person integrally involved in this crisis, and then they give advice, and they give ideas, and they give thoughts, and they give their opinions. Look at all these people who are going to say that are saying, dump him, get rid of him, dump him. Okay, so what happens if this guy comes back to the faith, and then he ultimately comes back to his wife? And then he's trying to make it work. And lo and behold, he knows all these people said, get rid of the jerk. I don't know. He might have to work through some feelings toward them. Who knows? Psychologist, but I'm speculating. This is Dr. A here. When we come back, more of you. More of me.
Suffered from sticker shock lately? Do you remember when your parents' first home cost less than your last car? Here's a thought. Why not replace your engine at a fraction of the cost of a new vehicle? I know you'd rather enjoy the haggling over pricing at the dealership, and you would miss the beautiful weather in Michigan as you traipse through used car lots in your snow boots. But let's do the math for a second. Take the total vehicle cost and add taxes, finance charges, increased insurance costs, then look at the true bottom line. For a better idea, call Kevin at Michigan Motor Exchange, proud sponsor of Catholic Radio. Fix the car you already have a relationship with and save that monthly payment for something fun, like a hot tub. Call Kevin at 248-666-2550. That's 248-666-2550.
Capernaum, Calvary, the Mount of Beatitudes, the Mount of Transfiguration, Bethlehem, and Nazareth. Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and those are just a few of the beautiful holy sites and holy cities you'll visit when you join me and author, speaker, and certified guide Steve Ray on our next pilgrimage to the Holy Land, June 3rd through the 13th, 2010. And your trip includes round-trip airfare from New York, three nights hotel along the Sea of Galilee, and five nights in Jerusalem. Plus, daily mass, daily talks and teachings for both Steve and myself, and of course, great food, fellowship, and an awful lot of fun. It's a life-changing and faith-growing experience. So join us, won't you, in the Holy Land, Steve Ray and myself, June 3rd through the 13th. Reservations may be obtained at Corporate Travel, 313-565-8888. Or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net at the Holy Land link.
Done. I was letting that music play for a while. I was stalling. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, on all of your EWTN affiliates, as well as the many, many, many networks around the country, product here of Ave Maria Radio Communications. Archive shows are there, meaning past shows. Let's see what else. DrRay.com, my website, DrRay.com. Video clips, audio clips, book excerpts, all kinds of hopefully helpful tidbits. Looking at life and kids. Sirius Satellite, Channel 160 is where EWTN is, and thus where I am. Colleen Kelly Mass, Mondays and Fridays on this program, good Lord permitting. Me Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, all right, I got some a range of calls up there, but I'm going to go to Clarissa from Idaho because she called. She called a while back, and obviously, given her situation, I have two pieces of advice. First of all, what's she doing on the phone? You can't stay on the phone that long with a kid like that. And then, is there anything I can do? Well, yeah, Clarissa, you can move out. Are you there?
I am.
I don't hear any screaming.
Actually, my husband's home today, so it was a good day to call. He's with him now. So.
Your son is almost two.
Yes, in June he'll be two.
He plays, he wants something, and if he doesn't get it, he screams.
Yeah. Or
how immature.
Wants to hear his own voice. I don't know.
Oh, how immature.
Oh, I know.
You know what? I don't know if you heard my opening monologue, but I was reviewing this survey around the world on the number one means of parental discipline, and 85%. Yeah, talk it out.
I was talking to your call screener during the meet of it.
Well, you need to talk it out. Talk it out. That's what everybody says. You got to talk it out. So you sit down with that little boy, and you say to him, "I'm sensing frustration. Why don't we go with that? I'm not comfortable with where your screaming is coming from. I'm wanting to share my own feelings about that. Why don't you just talk it out with him?"
Well, you know, I tried, and he just didn't seem to listen.
Well, part of the problem is you just aren't skilled
enough.
No, he
does understand quite a bit, and that's why I was wondering what is appropriate for his age group.
Well, is he screaming?
He understands when I tell him no.
Is he screaming out of madness, or is he screaming out of excitedness?
He does both.
Okay.
And when he's outside, when he's excited, I think that's appropriate. So I let him scream outside.
Especially if he's a couple miles away. Yeah, you can't hear
it. A different story.
But the screaming out of madness is really the beginning, the front end of fits, okay? So you may
of
have
what? I'm sorry.
Front end of fits. In other words, right now, perhaps all he's doing is just screaming when he doesn't get his way. But a year from now, if we let this continue, it could be more than screaming. It could be kicking and throwing and spitting.
Right.
And so the easiest
time. And he has done that before.
All right. He's ahead of schedule. He's developmentally mature.
Spitting and so, yeah, he's definitely developing.
It is time. As soon as he screams, throws a fit. If you don't want to talk it out with him, it is time to pick him up and put him somewhere. Put him in a playpen, put him in his crib, put him on the steps, put him on a chair, put him in his high chair, pick him up and say, no screaming. That's it.
Okay.
And because you will probably do that, let's see, how many times? Minimum probably 250.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
But that's okay, because as much as you think that is tough now, this is the easiest. Okay?
So when he's at home, should it always be the same place that I put him?
You can put him anywhere you want.
Matter?
I mean, sit him on a chair, sit him on a couch. But what you're doing is you're just beginning the training of, if you do A, I do B. So what we're going to do, son, is we're going to teach you over a long period of time that A is not a good thing to do, and we'll find other options. But in the meantime, I can't let you do A. See, a lot of people will say, well, Dr. Ray, you know, you're not really teaching him anything. All you're teaching him is to not do something. I say, ho, 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 ho. First of all, not screaming is not screaming. That's
right,
teaching
that's
him to be quiet. Yeah, really. and then the second comeback to that argument is, well, okay, if you want to teach him to be calm, how do you do that? Do you talk to him and say, okay, be calm now. Okay, time to be calm. Oh, look at me, I'm calm. I mean, how are you going to do this? Are you going to give him a banana every time he's calm? Because what happens when he starts screaming? Are then you going to say, well, okay, if you get calm, I'll give you a banana. I mean, this is just dumb, all right? But
You're
at the front end of doing this with your little guy, and the key here, I'll leave you with this, Clarissa, the key, when you put him somewhere, you make sure he stays. This cannot escalate into a, what are you doing, Mom? I'm not staying here. Get a clue. Because then you've opened up a whole new can of discipline trouble, and you want to deal with that. So make him stay, whether you hold him or you swat his bottom or you put him someplace where he can't get out, like a playpen. Make him stay.
How do you feel about flicking his ear? We've done that.
You mean like the lower lobe?
Yeah.
I don't personally have any problems with it, but I will tell you, I've seen a lot of kids as they are older that have one earlobe a lot lower than another. It's been stretched. My mom used to grab me by the earlobe, and my earlobe right now, I don't know if you've ever seen me, that's why I don't have pictures of me on the left side, because my earlobe it touches my shoulder.
I haven't noticed.
Yeah. Thanks, Clarissa.
Thank you.
Okay, honey. Thanks. Bye. All right, let's see where we go. Oh, so many good ones up there. Pat, who is a female from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Dr. Ray. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Well, I had to, because I tell you what, you are stomping right on one of my biggest personal issues. I hate stuff.
I do too.
Well, who's the woman that's hoarding?
She's an elderly woman that I met, and I kind of took her under my wing, you know. I don't think she has anybody else that she's very close to, so I've never been invited into her house, ever.
You could get lost.
Right. It's a path through there.
Oh.
I was stunned.
Oh.
So I only knew to do one thing. I said, I need to fix this. So I hired a company.
Oh, you got guts.
I know. I told her. I said, this is the only way I know how to help you.
Does she want you to do that?
I don't think she really did, but she also...
didn't want to lose your friendship.
Yeah, plus she knew I was... You know, she trusts me. You know, she really trusts me. So I said, I have to do this. This isn't healthy for you. It's you're depressed, and now I can understand why you're, you know, sad a lot. And So I hired his company, you know, and it's taken a while. I mean, they started last week sometime, and they're about done. But, you know, and I call her, and I go over there, and I help her through. I mean, I don't just let these guys come in and just take her stuff. But I think she gets a little upset. But am I causing more harm than I'm helping her?
Yeah, this is ticklish here, Pat. how old is the woman?
76.
Are there any other signs that she is beginning some type of deteriorating organic process?
You know, I don't really know. I mean, I do see her 3-4 times a week. I mean, she eats okay. I mean, she drives. She pays her bills on time. But, you know, I don't know what other kind of signs maybe to look for, but she said she hasn't always been like this.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
That was my next question. If this is something clearly that has gained momentum the last 1, 2, 3, 4 years and just has gotten beyond her ability to, quote, unquote, control. She just does this. She doesn't know why she does it, but she does it. And she gets very anxious if anybody threatens to undo it. I would want to see some pictures. Ask her, she's got any old albums. Look at those albums. And have her show you know, the kids, growing up, and study the environment. Look at her living room. Was it like that 23 years ago?
Okay.
You know, if she's in normal living condition, then there could be, this could indicate that as she's gotten older, she's developed a little bit of this sort of obsessive, compulsive kind of mindset. And that's really what a lot of the research says this is. When you get this serious, excessive, pathological hoarding like this, it is a cousin of some type of obsessive, compulsive sphere.
Mm.
So given that, I'd want to see. And that might indicate that, yeah, you're kind of on the front end of an organic process, okay? Now, that said, it may be that you are the most important person in her life right now. You stop by, you see her, you love her.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, she's afraid. I mean, she doesn't want to lose you. So she accepted what you did as the cost of having you.
Oh.
That left up to herself, she wouldn't have done this. She would not have done it. She might have complained about it. She might have said, oh, this is awful and terrible. I need to get a grip on it. But she wouldn't have done anything about it. So maybe you sit down with her and you talk to her and you say, what do you think about all this? I know I was doing this to help you for your health, for your depression, to get you more into being able to live your life as you want it. What do you think? And if she says, well, I'm glad because I couldn't do it myself. And I know that it needed to be done, and I'm glad you came in and did it for me. Okay. But if she starts to hem-haw, which is, oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm afraid they'll take stuff that is really valuable to me. And I don't know what they're taking. And I know you sort through it, but you know, some of it was a gift, and I really feel bad giving gifts away. And you'll get a sense of.
Okay, because it was more along the first what you said. Because as this process has happened, I mean, I go over there, and after they're done, we go out to dinner. Because I'm like, you need to get out a little bit, you know. And I do talk to her. I'm like, you know, I don't want to do this to upset you. Are you doing okay? You know, I do. You know, I last night I just took her last night out. You know, and she did say that. She's like, no, I know you're doing this for my health, and I'm okay with it. But I'm like, is she really okay with it?
She's probably not as okay with it as she's telling you.
Okay.
Because typically when you get folks in this situation, they resist this kind of thing until they come to the insight that this is not normal behavior. This is not a person who likes stuff. This is way over the edge. You've got to walk
exactly.
A 3-foot pathway into the bathroom.
Right.
And it's funny because pathology manifests itself as it interacts with the culture. Example, people get addicted to the internet. Well, 50 years ago, nobody got addicted to the internet. It wasn't there. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, people didn't have this kind of stuff. They just didn't. They didn't have the money to do it. They did not have the ability to accumulate. Well, now they do. And so there is a certain small percentage of people who accumulate way, 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 way too much. Okay? Well, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, or in most poor cultures, forget it. It's not going to happen. Because you can't. Okay? So given that, I would say the best thing you can do for her, by far, Pat, is be her friend, hang around her, give her precious support that you've been doing, and watch and see if it starts to reaccumulate again.
That's my fear. All right,
honey. Thanks.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to go home and get rid of any stomach. See, this is what God does to you. This is what he does to you. I don't like stuff. Never have. Sometimes my wife says I make St. Francis look like a hoarder. And not because I'm particularly moral about the whole thing, but just because I got this thing, I just don't like stuff. Like, it's simple. One cup. Is that it? Only one cup. One cup, one spoon, glass of milk. Okay? Well, God gives me 10 kids. Kids are slops. Kids, American kids, like stuff. So, stuff. Times 10. Plus, our mother-in-law lives with us. My mother-in-law really liked her stuff. God bless her. She had all kinds of trinkets and crafts, and everything in her house was just a showpiece of that stuff. It wasn't pathological or anything like that, just a lot. Well, okay. So, Mom liked that stuff. All I want is just to sit in the corner of my garage with a chair. Actually, the Pope came to my house recently. He had just come from his little apartment, and he said, "Boy, you don't got any. I couldn't live like this. You don't have anything." No, it's not true. It's Dr. Ray. I'll be back.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
The Pine Missionaries are an institute of Catholic priests and brothers who dedicate their lives to the mission among non-Christians in 17 countries. They're creative in their missionary presence, proclaiming the gospel and promoting understanding among religions and cultures. Pine has had a presence in Southeast Michigan for over 60 years. From their headquarters in Detroit, they collaborate with the Archdiocese in serving the local church, expressing their missionary spirit. You can learn more about the Pine Missionaries at pineusa.org or look for them on Facebook.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. As a Catholic business owner, Catholic people like to do business with Catholic businesses. And the online Catholic business page is .com lets Catholic consumers know you're out there. When you display your business on CatholicBusinessPages.com, you'll get an entire year of advertising at less than a dollar a day. That's 12 full months of online advertising, effective, affordable, and targeted to your market. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Catholic Business Pages link and enter promo code AMR and save.
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. As we begin our new season, we look forward to a number of delayed conference broadcasts on our new Sunday afternoon program, Your Catholic Conference Collection. We start by going back to Authentic Catholic Femininity from last spring. This two-CD set with Teresa Tomeo, Genevieve Kinnicky, Bishop Daniel Flores, and Father John Ricardo was $19. Tom Lowe and I broadcast the installation mass of the new ordinary of the Diocese of Saginaw, Bishop Joseph Stone. That two-CD set is also $19. All editions of Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, Christ is the Answer, Putting on the Mind of Christ, The Doctor is In, and Heart, Mind, and Strength are also available. All single talks and programs are on high-quality CDs and are $9.50 each. To place your order for one of these titles or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506. 734-930-4506 or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm supposed to train professional communicator and stuff. Really. My wife will say things to me, and I'm thinking I'm cool. And she just gives me that look that women are so good at giving. And then I realize I'm six. The other night, we're sitting on the couch watching the Cavaliers, you know. Cleveland hasn't had a winning team in anything in 294 years. I'm all excited. Cavs are winning. My wife snuggles up. She's next to me. She cuddles up close and she says, "Do you love me more than basketball?" I'm figuring, okay, you know, I'm on my own here. I'm on my own. I turned to her. I said, "College or NBA?" I thought, you know, you got to get the specifics. You can't just get this generic love marriage question. You got to know the specifics. No, she says to me, "Does this dress make me look fat?" I'll say, "Where?" You got to narrow it down. Anyway, I lost one of the questions I wanted to take here on the program. I believe it was Terry who didn't stick around. Terry, if you're out there, you were next, because it was a great question. Terry said in your opening monologue, you said that discipline is not talking. When she said, "What is it?" Well, that's simple. It's doing. It's teaching through results, teaching through actions, whether yours or the world's. It's teaching. It would be so nice if we could all just sit down with children and talk it out. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We could reason together. And that little 7-year-old or 9-year-old or 16-year-old who totally doesn't see life the way you see it, can you expect them to? Would agree. Or would at least agree to disagree? It amazes me. It amazes me. At the same time, we say our kids are so difficult, and they are across the board. More and more people are complaining about frustration with their children. We're leaning towards the very discipline ideas that don't work. I'm not saying you got to come down with a hammer. And that's the irony. That's the irony. If you rely on talking most of the time, you don't stay at talking. You move into yelling and screaming and personal attacks and nastiness. You don't say to a child, "You know, honey, if I have to talk with you one more time about your disrespectful tone of voice and your ungrateful attitude, I think I'll begin to feel anger pangs, okay? And I really don't want to raise my voice. Okay, I've not raised my voice for the last 13 years, and I really don't want to start now. Especially when you cuss at me. I feel so badly about that." Michelle from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
That a girl. How can I help you?
My question is about depression and the effect it has on kids, like from a standpoint of their parents having depression.
Yeah.
And just any information you could offer. My boyfriend is struggling with depression, and I just wanted to kind of know, going into something like a dating relationship, what kind of effect that would have on future kids. Because both of us know like the purpose of dating is marriage.
Sure.
And that's ultimately where we're headed.
It kind of depends upon the intensity of the depression, the reason for the depression, whether the depression is a life-caused depression or a biochemically-caused depression. Those are all factors. It also depends if there are other difficulties surrounding the depression. For example, I see an awful lot of teenagers and young adults diagnosed depressed, more often diagnosed bipolar. And more what I'm seeing is that these are not depressed people. These are people who are not living their lives well. And as a result, they're discontent. In the old days, they would have been called miserable. As a result, yeah, there is depression, but it's depression that is secondary to an overall personality approach to living. They make bad judgments. They don't get along with people. They don't see themselves well. They're irresponsible. They have a poor work ethic. Their moral system is very erratic and fragmented. They have done many, many dumb things that they continue to do. And as a result, when you do that, when you start piling up bad decisions on top of bad decisions, you're not a happy person. And typically it's only a matter of time before somebody goes to the doctor and says, I just don't feel good, I don't feel right, I don't know what's wrong with me, I'm just sad. Or the doctor says, yeah, you don't feel good, you don't look right, something's wrong with you, you're sad, depressed. Now, all that said, by and large, if this is a chronic situation, if this is a situation where your boyfriend has struggled with this off and on for a long time, then chances are he's going to struggle with it off and on for a long time into the future. And to the degree that it affects his ability to function, it's going to affect you and your kids, or the kids. It's going to do that. All right? And if you think to yourself, well, you know, I will be the one bright spot in his life. I will make him happy. He'll change when he's with me. Perhaps, not likely, but perhaps. So I'm not telling you what to do, obviously. I don't know your situation.
Mm-hmm.
But to the degree that this has been around a while, and to the degree that it's part and parcel of his overall approach to life, I would go very slow.
Well, I don't see it in his approach to life, excuse me, because he's very, like, he does have a good work ethic. He's done, I mean, he's very reliable in that sense, but he just tends to be more, like, quiet and not as extroverted.
Well, that's different from depression. I mean, if he's just
quiet.
Yeah,
but at the same time, actually, he's been diagnosed with.
Well, then.
And he's taking medication for it.
Well, I'd have to know why he was diagnosed. I'd have to know what the circumstances were. I'd have to know when. You know, if this is a guy who basically says, you know what, I'm just a quiet guy. I'm low-key. I don't get all that excited about things. I'm not depressed. I function. I do fine. I like being with you. I like going to work. I like playing sports. Okay, that's me. Then, you know, you have to maybe get a second opinion and find out if, in fact, this is just his temperament. You know, some people are just less zestful than others.
So then okay, as Michelle. Long as it's not, like, debilitating and, like, he can't function. Longer.
Well, that's the biggest worry, to the degree that the depression affects who he is and how he lives. Yeah, that's the biggest worry. That's where you got a lot of complications.
Okay. I have one other quick question.
I'll tell you what, I got to run. Me back.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, call me back. Susan, Illinois. Hi, Susan. Susan?
Hello? Yes.
There you are. Hi.
Hi.
I'll save you some time. Got a 17-year-old daughter who didn't come home one night. She stayed out. She took off. You know where she was?
We have a good idea where she was.
She didn't tell you.
No.
She didn't tell you?
No. We think she was with the boy.
She refused to tell you? Is that what happened?
Well, she told us a story, and she's been lying, so I don't know that I believe her.
And this boy, has she been seeing him?
At work. She's not allowed to date. And I picked her up one night, and she wasn't there. And so, you know, got really late, and we started worrying. So we actually called the police from a friend's suggestion. And anyway, we met up with her the following day at school and briefly talked with her, let her finish out the day, came home, and she's lost all of her privileges. We took her, we made her give her 2 weeks' notice and quit her job. We cut off her phone, and she keeps lying to us because she's sneaking the phone.
How does she do that?
Well, she takes our cordless phone, and, I mean, we've kind of have to be police. We try to take all the phones at night, and she ends up somehow getting one. She's outsmarting us is what she's doing, which,
you know,
anyway,
honey, this didn't happen overnight. You know that.
Which is scary because we didn't see it coming.
Right. And many parents will tell me that. They'll say, we can pinpoint this to January 17th, 2010.
Right.
No, you can't. You
right.
can pinpoint the obvious at the 2010, January 17. This has been trickling under the radar for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Is probably the case. And again, how should I put this, Susan? You can be a great parent. This is not in any way impugning your motherhood. But the culture is so tempting and so alluring and provides so many opportunities for kids to simply do what they want to do over and above their parents' wishes and teaching, that huge numbers of adolescents are doing this kind of stuff. Okay? Huge! Huge! So as a result, what it does is it forces you to regroup. You step back and you say, oh boy, well, the trustworthiness picture we had of our 17-year-old daughter is false. We don't know where she is trustworthiness-wise. All we know is where we've caught her. We don't know where we didn't catch her.
Right.
So as a result, you know, you use the word, we have to be police. Yeah. Yeah, in a lot of ways, Susan, you really do, because she's determined to do what she wants. Maybe it only revolves around this boy. Maybe there's more. She's determined to do what she wants, and she's doing everything in her power to get around you. Will she talk to you? You sit down and talk to her, and you try to find out what's going on in her head, what she wants, what she doesn't like about you, what she thinks she should be allowed to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Will she tell you anything, or will she just clam up?
She will. She will. We don't allow her to date, and so that's her excuse. She was sneaking around while we thought she was at work and dating anyway. Apparently.
What does she think about losing the job?
She didn't think it was fair. She turns 18 in about 3 months. Although she's a junior, she's going to be living with us as a senior, and we're still going to have the same rules because we need to earn that trust back. She needs to earn it back.
Yeah, we're going to find out what she's going to do at 18. We're going to find out if she says, I'm out of here and I'm going to go live with his parents or whatever. We don't know that, and hopefully this relationship will burn itself out by then. But you're in a position right now, Susan, you and your husband, to settle down and talk with her and figure out exactly how you're going to keep her from doing some foolish things that it sounds like she wants to do, and she's going to do everything in her power to do. Oh, boy. Those of you on the line, you're first up next time around. God willing, I'll see you tomorrow. This is Dr. Ray on The Doctor Is In, The Doctor Is Out. Thank you, Andrew Krucek. Thanks to all of you. Appreciate it. Walk with God. Hold your kids tight by the hand. Hold on as long as you can, anyway.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. Now at the Ave Maria online store, Faith, Science, and Reason, Theology on the Cutting Edge. The raging controversies over the compatibility of Christian faith and modern science have divided public opinion. Designed for Catholic high schools and colleges, theologian Christopher Banglow delivers new insights into the Christian faith while preserving the integrity of modern science. To get Faith, Science, and Reason, Theology on the Cutting Edge, go to the online store at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All are invited to Life Walk Saturday, May 1st at Bishop Park in Wyandotte. Don't forget to collect pledges for this 2-mile walk fundraiser for Michigan Right to Life. The walk will be followed by a picnic with awards given to the most pledges turned in and the largest youth or church group present. For more information, call 734-284-8738. Join Ave Maria Radio favorite Teresa Tomeo at Dignity of Women Wednesday, May 5th at St. Mary of the Annunciation in Rockwood. Teresa will share the deep beauty and truth of church teaching as well as the role of women in the church. All are welcome. Call 734-379-9248 for further details. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077.